Welcome to the fourth episode of Left of Normal with Scott Siri, an episode I have titled, What's With That Smile? Last week, I went through what is seemingly a typical second grade story. There are likely a vast majority of us that have a cringeworthy story that we could share from our childhood, and something incredibly stupid that we did, or an embarrassing tale that we would just as soon forget. But this is the time, the exact instance that I can pinpoint where I started to notice interactions. And that one story, that one instance, was enough to change my behavior for decades to come. Today, I have another story. The difference with today's story is that I don't know the first time that it happened. And I don't know the last time that it happened. It was a period from maybe 2 years old to 6 or 7 that still carries over into adulthood, something that no matter where I am or who I'm with, requires my constant attention to actions and reactions. So I have 3 brothers, and while growing up, we had various family pictures taken over the years. Sometimes it was the entire family. Sometimes it was just me and 1, 2, or 3 of my brothers, and sometimes, but not often, just me in the pictures, unless it was school pictures or something along those lines. Now, aside from baby pictures, those first few years, nearly every single picture has my brother or brothers smiling away like a kid does. And I'm sitting there and I look embarrassed. I'm obviously stifling a smile, but it's not that I wasn't a happy kid or that I never smiled, but when a smile was required, for whatever reason, I would try to hide it to make it look like I wasn't joyous. Thinking back over the years, I vaguely remember some of the occasions, but I don't remember what my thoughts were on it. Perhaps it was that in pictures, you make a smile instead of having one come naturally. So when a smile did come naturally, I tried to repress it into a fake, forced, or otherwise created smile. What ended up happening was I looked like a moron, and if I wasn't such a darling and cute little boy, I would still be embarrassed about those pictures. So you're probably thinking, so what? It's a goofy thing you did as a small child. Everyone does goofy things as a kid. That's true. But what I've discovered is that now, even into my adult years, that was the precursor to how I behave, especially around other people. It wasn't about the smile. It was about, what if I do it wrong? I didn't have the thought process back then, but I knew there was a quote-unquote right way to smile for the camera, and there was a wrong way to smile for the camera. Everyone else in the pictures just smiled. The cameraman may have told a funny joke, jingled some keys, or held up a squeaky toy and promised a good boy treat afterward. I'm not sure, but everyone else knew that you just smile and then they moved on. But what if I smiled too big? What if my smile was too small? What if it was lopsided? What if I just smiled incorrectly? Eventually, I got over it. I learned how to smile in pictures, and I may or may not have practiced in front of the mirror to get just the right smile down so I didn't show too much gum or too much teeth, and I knew that closed mouth smiles were just not my thing. The cameras are easy now. If the smile turns out poorly, I can blame it on being caught off guard or something like that. And even video cameras are pretty easy because it's all scripted, so I know exactly when the smile is supposed to come. But now we get into live social situations, some more nerve-wracking than others, and a lot depends on how many eyes I believe are on me. Now, logically, I know that the number of eyes on me is most likely less than 1, 2, unless the person's wearing an eye patch or something, then just 1. But my mind likes to think that all the normies are watching me to see if I mess up this situation. The situation. A speaker tells a funny joke. It might be a little funny or a big funny. It doesn't really matter. Let's go with a little funny to begin with. Have you ever been in a crowd and something kind of funny happens and there's that one dude that laughs way too loud or way too long? It happens. People move on. Nobody really remembers or cares. If I was that dude, I would never be able to return to that particular group of people ever again. So funny incident happens. I have a microsecond to gauge the room. I have to determine how many people see or hear me. I have to quantify the amount of laughter from the other people and then determine my own appropriate level of laughter given all the parameters that I just had to analyze in less than a second. What if I laugh too loud? What if I don't laugh loud enough? What if my smile is disproportionate to the amount of laughter or noises that I am making? What if I don't get the joke and I just sit there with a blank look on my face while everyone else laughs? Now, I'm not just doing it wrong, I'm stupid too. What if I do one of those blow air out your nose laughs because it was kind of funny but not really that funny, and then I blow a huge booger out my nose? In that case, maybe I should just not laugh at all. So I debated including this bit, but I'm going to do it anyway. Back in high school, we were raising money for a missions trip down to Mexico. Part of the fundraiser was a pie auction at the church, and of course, people knew it was a fundraiser, so a pie would go for $100 or something like that. Now, two people got into this little bidding war, and one pie went for way more than the other pies. I can't remember exactly what it was, probably around $500 or something. Anyway, every up bid, people would cheer or laugh, and at one point it jumped from, say, $300 to $500, and there were bursts of exclamation, and I distinctly heard Pete Shug laugh and clap louder than the rest of the crowd. Sorry, Pete, I know you can handle being that guy. The point is, I don't think I could handle being that guy. So from a time before I can even remember, my brain analyzed what it meant to smile appropriately in pictures. I eventually learned the appropriate social behavior, and now I can look devastatingly handsome in every single picture that's ever been taken of me since around the age of 7, except that one time in 3rd grade when I didn't tell my mom it was picture day and I went to school with my hair uncombed. But there's no way to appropriately plan out every social situation when funnies come at an unknown time. I'm constantly on my guard so I don't act the wrong way in any given situation. In case you haven't noticed, this isn't just smiling either. This carries over to every reaction. Bad news or sad news is the worst. So if you tell me something sad or bad and I respond with, "That sucks," I'm not just being callous, I can't analyze the appropriate response quickly enough. This is one of the biggest reasons why I sit in the back, often in the back corner. I'm minimizing the number of eyes that could potentially see my mistake. So I hope this gives you a little insight into why some people really suck at communicating in certain situations. As usual, I hope you found this helpful. I hope you found it insightful. Please join me over on the Facebook group, Left of Normal. It can be found at facebook.com/groups/leftofnormalcommunity. Feedback is always appreciated. Leave a comment, bring up an idea over on Facebook. Find me on most social medias. Send an email to scott@scottsiri.com. And let's get some dialogue going. Next week, I will be getting more into this grade school, middle school, weird area that's hard enough for normies. And somehow, I made it through, but I had to adapt my behavior. I had to adapt how I live life considerably so that I could come out at least pretending to be normal. We'll talk soon.